been trying to think of different things that I've done since the last time I was on tour. And one of those things is that I got married. And there's obviously loads of things I love about my husband. I'll tell you a couple of them. One of the things I love about my husband is that one time when he went food shopping, he came home with 18 tins of custard. Now, who doesn't love that? But I did question the amount. I said, why 18 tins? He said, there was an offer on. He fucking loves a bargain. I said, what was the offer? He said, buy one, get one free. I said, still, why 9 tins? I only had one banana. And I didn't want to eat it on its own, because then it's fruit, not pudding. That's no good, is it? But I chose to say it a different way. I thought, maybe this is a longevity thing. Maybe he thinks we're going to be together a long time. 18 tins of custard long. Turns out 18 tins of custard only lasts a fortnight. Another thing I love about him is that he is as good with children as I am, which is not at all. We don't have many friends who have kids because mostly we try and shake them off. I'm sure you've got kids and I'm sure they're smashing, but I'm glad you've left them at fucking home. Presumably so are you. My husband has a friend that they've been friends since they were teenagers, and this particular friend has a little boy who's that sort of age. I'm going to say 5, but it's very much a guess. And this little boy is always there every time my husband visits his friend, because he hasn't got a job or anything yet. The last time my husband visited his friend, the little boy said to him, will you read my book, please? So polite, so polite. My husband said, of course I will. So the little boy handed his book to my husband, and my husband read the book in his head. This is how shit we are with kids. But we were on a train, my husband and I, quite recently, sitting opposite each other. Very busy train, very packed with loads of people. And I needed to tell him something, but I didn't want to say it out loud because a lot of people are around. So I thought, I'm going to try and just say it with my face, not use any words at all, just get the message across a different way. Now, we've only been married for 2 years, but we've been together for 10. Give us a cheer if you're in a long-term relationship. So you guys will know especially well that you can often get a message across with just your face, can't you? I thought, that's what I'm going to do. Now, the thing I needed to tell him was that I was feeling a bit horny. Hence not wanting to say that out loud, so I'm going to use my face. Now, I'm going to do the face that I did for him. I'm going to do that face for you. But I've got a slight problem in that I haven't figured out how to make it work in as wide a room as this. So upstairs and at the back, you'll all be fine, but right on the edge here, you might struggle to say apologies in advance. But for the rest of you, this is the face that I did to my husband on a busy train to let him know that I was feeling a bit horny. This is the face. Sorry if you didn't see it there. Sorry if you didn't see it. It's quite subtle. It's quite subtle. She's doing it. Go. And my husband got it straight away because we've got a really deep connection. I read a survey that said that in heterosexual couples, men don't think that women initiate sex. And I thought, I don't think that's true. I think women initiate sex. I think maybe we don't call it that. Initiating sex sounds like something you do on a rocket, doesn't it?
Initiating sex. 5, 4, 3, 2.
I think women initiate sex. I think maybe men aren't always so good at picking up the signals. Maybe that's where the communication falls down. So a bloke would be like,
yeah, she was lying on the bed. She had her hair all sort of fanned out on the pillow. She had a tiny towel on so I could basically see everything. And she just put lipstick on, which is weird because she just got out of the bath. But I decided to initiate sex. 5, 4, 3.
Can I just stop you there in the middle of a countdown, flower? I started ages ago. You weren't even in the fucking room when I started. That chat that you have sometimes before sex and occasionally during sex, that bit of chat. I think if you've been together a long time, that chat should come with terms and conditions attached, don't you think? So if you say something like, you can do whatever you want to me, what you really mean is, of the 4 things we normally do, within the parameters we've already set. But interesting, don't you think, that there's often chat before and during sex, but very little chat after sex, just sort of, no night, or like,
I'm going to have a piss as soon as this thing flattens.
That's it. Or maybe something like, oh, get us a biscuit while you're up.
is the dog still staring?
Something else I seem to have acquired that I would never buy for myself is sticks in a jar. Have you seen this? Sticks in a jar, sticks in a jar. Does anybody know what the proper name is? Reed diffuser. A few of you shouted out at the same time. Thank you. If you don't know what it is, it's just a jar that has perfume in it. And the reeds or the sticks carry the perfume up, made the room smell nice. I didn't know any of this when this was given to me as a present. It reminded me quite a lot of the incense sticks that my friend had had when I visited her at university. So I nearly lit the fucking thing. I almost accidentally created a Jo Malone Molotov cocktail. A few girly things I can't really partake in. I can't have anything in the bath that isn't me or the water. I can't have bath bombs, bath oil, bubble bath, bath salt, can't have any of those things. If I have any of those things, it makes down there
raw.
I mean both spellings, like R-A-W, sort of red and angry and shiny, and also just no. Pretty sure that's what the Katy Perry song is about. You know that old pub joke, you'll know this. Two muggies in the bath, one of them goes, hoo, 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 and the other one goes, oh, sorry, I forgot you had a really sensitive vagina. Do you know that one? But that sentence I said there, if you say that I've got a really sensitive vagina, I meant that in like a practical way just then. But you could also say that at kind of sexy time, couldn't you? You've got to be careful of those sentences that on paper look like the same thing. Here's another one, got to be careful. I'm not wearing any knickers. Because I've got a touch of thrush and I'm trying to get a bit of air around. But I've got a friend who's in her 60s and she said to me, I used to be like you with the bath bombs and whatnot. I said, used to be. What's changed? She said, oh, well, when you get to my age, you can have whatever you like in the bath because it's all dead down there. That is a small upside to a big downside, isn't it? I have no feeling whatsoever in my vagina, but finally I get to go to Lush. A long time ago I was reading one of those books. You know those books that are ostensibly a romance but have a couple of pages of filth in the middle, a smashing? I was reading one of those, and on one of the pages of filth, the lady of the book poured some champagne on herself. And the man of the book drank the champagne off her. And me and my boyfriend at the time, this is 20 years ago, decided we were going to have a go at this. We couldn't afford champagne, so we bought some Lambrusco. And I had forgot that the lady in the book was lying flat. I was sitting upright, just poured it on, it ran straight in. Smarted like a motherfucker. I told that story to a friend of mine recently, and she said, is that why you don't drink? No. Not once when somebody's asked me, why don't I drink, have I answered, because it hurts me, Fanny. Ah, you're doing it wrong then. You don't have to take the cork out like that. It was a screw cup. Imagine the skills I need for a screw cup. We went on holiday last year. My husband and I went to New York, did a lot of walking around New York. We developed kind of a playful competition regarding our steps. We don't have Fitbits, anything fancy like that, just the app on our phones where we use, and at the end of every day, we compare numbers. And generally, he'd done about 2,000 more steps than I had every single day, and I couldn't figure out why we're spending all of our time together. All I was thinking was, what the fuck is he doing while I'm in the bath? He's just standing outside the bathroom door doing this. So the last night before, I went home the following morning, I came to a bit of a head. I said, how many steps have you done? And he'd done 15,000 and something, and I'd done 13,000 and something. And I said, you know what? I don't know why this is happening, but I don't like it, and I don't think it's fair. And as I was talking to him, he started to walk towards me, and I said, oh, before you come in here, will you get us a glass of water? And he went and got us a glass of water, and then I said, I think I've left my book over there. And I thought, fuck, that's what it is, isn't it? It's 2,000 bossy steps every single day. But while we were in New York, we saw a couple of shows. One of the shows didn't know anything about it, just heard it was really good. Now, if I'd known it was going to be as emotional a show as it turned out to be, I wouldn't have worn quite so much eye makeup, rookie mistake. And I'm a crier. I cry at loads of things. I cried at this show basically from 8 minutes into it until it finished. But when it came to the interval, the queue for the ladies' loo was huge. And I said to my husband, do us a favour, save me getting in that queue. Will you just check me face? Just check me face, check under my eyes, have a look to see if there's anything that needs sort of urgently fixing. And again, he can't just glance and glance away. He had to start scanning from the top of my head. It's like, go out with a fucking Terminator. He said, it's all black under your eyes. And I thought, bloody mascara. So I remember I had a compact mirror in my handbag. I got it out and I had a look. And my makeup was perfect. What he'd spotted there was how old and tired I am. Okay, saw the end of Jurassic World that fucking night. But weirdly, I've now got two compact mirrors in my handbag. I've got that one and another one I bought relatively recently from a garden centre. I love a garden centre. You know the bit of the garden centre that's not garden? It's just teapots and scarves and jam. Fucking love that bit. And I picked up a magnifying mirror because I thought it would be good for the old tash and beard situation. And the magnifying mirror is 12 times magnified. 12 times! It's like watching the fucking blue planet. You can see them bursting into life. Really quite beautiful. So I paid for the mirror at the till, I chucked at my handbag, thought nothing more of it. Can you guess which one I got back out the next time I needed to look at me fanny? Can you guess? Can you guess? It was huge. Couldn't work out if it looked like a horror film or the best pudding I'd ever seen. But obviously on tour you spend a lot of time in hotels and you tend to watch whatever's on the telly whatever time you get in. Which is my way of saying that I've seen Naked Attraction. Has anybody else seen Naked Attraction? Yes. Thank God for that. I thought I'd fucking dreamt it. If you haven't, I will explain it to you, but you might not believe me, be warned. Naked Attraction is a dating programme where the person choosing the date chooses from various people who are naked in perspex boxes and revealed section by section from the bottom up. Now, every time I've seen it, it's always been really young people, 20, 22, 24 at most. And I always think, why don't they have older people on there? Older people need dates as well. It's not very fair, not very diverse. And then I realised, like that, I am 43. If I was on that programme, they'd open the bottom box and be like, well, it's just supposed to be her legs, but you can see her tits as well. With me, they'd be better off starting from the top. Head, tits, 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 tits belly fanny. I do like to go home as much as possible when I'm on tour. It's really nice to sleep in your own bed, isn't it? A few months ago, I woke up in my own bed. I was kind of faffing on my phone like we all tend to do when we wake up these days. The dog was lying on one of my boobs. Now, when they're in a bra, that's quite tricky. But when they're on the loose, that's just like a big, flat, comfy dog bed for him. So he's lying there. My husband had got out of bed and was starting to get his clothes on. Now, after a few minutes, the dog decided it was time to get up. So he pushed himself up off my boob. Pushed himself up with all of his might. And it really hurt. So I made a noise of pain. Unbeknownst to me, what was happening at exactly that same moment, my husband was right in front of me, naked, bending over to pick up a sock off the floor. He thought I'd made that noise because I'd just seen his splayed asshole. And the noise that I made was this. Oh! I said I would never make a noise like that at you. That's so hurtful. I would never make a noise like that. I might do a face. Perhaps a small amount of quiet retching. I don't get in the newspapers very much, which is a good thing because I'm a very private person. But a few months ago, there's a story about me in the Irish Mirror. Started in the Irish Mirror and I moved across to all of the UK tabloids as well. And the story was this. The story was that I'd been on a huge health kick and had lost a dramatic amount of weight. Now, I can't see all of your faces, but the ones I can see down here, you're right to have this expression on them. Huh? I've not been on a health kick, I've not lost any weight. In fact, I'm fatter than I've ever been, and I could not give less of a shit. How they came to the conclusion, their story, if you like, they found a photograph I was in, a sort of group shot that was taken at the end of a TV record. They compared that to a photograph a friend had taken of me, and they cross-referenced those two photographs with a third one from my Instagram account. So the group shot was a photograph taken at the end of an episode of Never Mind the Buzzcocks, and I had my arm around Lethal Bizzle. Now, if you're over 20, just pretend I said David Essex. Doesn't matter who that was. But whenever you've got your arm around somebody, everything lifts up. It's very unflattering, and of course, I don't get to okay that photograph. The one they compared it to, the one a friend had taken of me, was nice, because your friends take nice photos of you because your friends like you. And as your friends don't mind if you take their phones off them and delete all of the ones you fucking hate. So they compared those two, and they cross-referenced them with a third one from my Instagram account, which was of some satsumas. I shit you not, ladies and gentlemen, this is journalism today. Now, what I didn't like about it was the story wasn't fat woman gets thin, which is not news anyway. The story was fat woman gets better, and that boils my piss. The idea that women are told by the media that only one body shape is allowed and everything else is disgusting and needs rectifying is something I quite frankly will not fucking tolerate. And I stand beside any woman at all, I feel huge. I feel like a wardrobe. But if I wander around Asda, I blend in. If I stand beside any woman on the telly, say Amanda Holden, lovely woman. If I stand beside Amanda Holden, she looks like my next meal. Oh, has my Deliveroo arrived? Sorry, I didn't say you there, Amanda. You shouldn't hold a plastic fork like that. That's very confusing for people like me. Oh, I'll pick up what I think is a crisp off the floor. Turns out it's Kylie fucking Minogue. She's got to get to a show, guys. Let's give her a hand. We do watch a lot of films. Watched Iron Man when it was on the telly not long ago. If you don't know it, Iron Man is a superhero film. It's not really my cup of tea. But I do quite like Robert Downey Jr. in a white vest. Tick. Yeah. So partway through the film, I leant over to my husband and I went, "You should get a white vest." And he went, "Oh, would you like that?" I was like, "Yeah, I think I would." He was like, "Maybe I'll get a white vest then." And then later on in the film, something technical happened and they needed to fix it with tools. And I leant over to my husband and I went, "You should get a tool belt." And he went, "Would you like that?" I was like, "Yeah, I think I would." He was like, "Maybe I'll get a tool belt then." And then I entirely forgot my train of thought. And I went, "Oh, then you could do that big list of jobs I've got." I think that's my ideal porn film, is just the fixing, not the fucking. Just the fixing, not the fucking. I'd love to watch one where he fixes his washing machine and then just leaves because he's got another job on. The washing machine works for years and years and years.
Oh, you bugger.
Just the fix and not the fuck, and that's what I want. To be fair, that's what Jimmy Savile should have stuck with as well, but anyway. You laughed and you clapped and you oohed all at the same time. That's very impressive. Well done. But I think when you've been in your couple for a while, you do develop kind of shorthand, don't you? Kind of code for things. Things that you guys would understand within your couple, but maybe others wouldn't. I'll give you an example. A lot of couples seem to me to have a shorthand for letting their partner know that they fancy some sex that night. Now, before I start the tour, I do a series of previews where I try out my stories in front of a much smaller crowd. And at one of those previews, I asked the audience, I said, "How would you let your partner know you fancy some sex?" And a lady shouted out, "I just flash my arse as I leave the room." And her husband's like, "Oh, I'm on." Another preview, I asked again, I said, "How would you let your partner know you fancy some sex?" And a man went, "I put the dog in the crate." I said, "Is that a euphemism?" Actual dog in an actual crate. I said, "When do you let the dog back out the crate?" He said, "When we're finished." I said, "Does it not bother you that not only does the dog know what you're doing, the dog knows how long it's taking you?" But I told this to one of my friends and she said, "Oh, it's the same in our house." I said, "Really?" She said, "Actually, no, no." She said, "When we start having sex, the dog puts himself in the crate." Try to shut the little gate with his hands, planted over his head, fucking headphones on. But if you don't have a shorthand for fancy a shag and you'd like one, you can use what we do. I don't mind if you copy us, don't mind at all. What we do, say we're watching a film at home, I'll say something really sexual to get his attention, and then I'll say, "Anyway, back to the film, works a treat." I've got two examples. Use them at your will. They both work very, very well. Example number one, wowzers, my tits are massive. Anyway, back to the film. Every single time. Example number two. Jesus, my funny feels empty. Anyway, back to the film. I didn't say they were subtle, but they weren't a fucking treat. We've still not seen the end of Jurassic World. My final preview before I started the tour properly, I told this story about the man and the dog and the crate because I thought it was funny. And a man in the middle of the room gave me a little wave. I said, is everything all right, love? What's going on here? He said, that was me. That was us. They'd come to see the show again. And I told their story within the show. And his wife was sitting beside him like this. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And he said, don't mind her. She always gets embarrassed when I talk to you. I said, why are you doing it again then? He said, oh, she got her own back. I said, oh, really? He said, yeah. He said, put it this way. After your show, the dog didn't see the inside of the crate for nearly a week. But while you're working out what your shorthand for fancier shag might be, you need to know that they don't all work. We were lying in bed a few months ago. It was very late, both very tired. But for whatever reason, my husband couldn't sleep. He was wide awake. So I said to him, in the dark, in my most coquettish voice, I said, is there anything I can do that might help you fall asleep? And he said, oh yes, you could be quiet. My husband isn't great at giving compliments, and I love a compliment. So what we do is I kind of tee them up for him, and he tries his best. I was in the shower, and my husband came in the bathroom to brush his teeth, and I thought, I'll tee up a compliment. Now, we don't go to the toilet in front of each other, because we're saving that for retirement. But he came in the bathroom to brush his teeth, and I thought I'd tee up a compliment. So I said to him, I said, have I got a good arse? Now, my husband is not the sort of man who can quickly say yes or no. He's a very methodical man. He's a very logical man. He had to, what he would call, verify the data. So he had a proper look at my arse, and then he said, yes, you have. I said, thanks. He said, big fan. I said, didn't ask about that. I was once shaving my legs in the bath. You know when I say shave my legs, you know I mean everything else as well, don't you? Yes, good. Normally just start my toes and keep going. And I cut my toe shaving. Now, if you're under 40, you probably think that's disgusting. If you're over 40, you know it's a fact of fucking life. I went downstairs and I told my husband that I'd cut myself shaving, and he genuinely looked at my face. We've got an app on our phones called Find Friends. If you don't know what Find Friends is, it's an app where you can kind of sync up with each other. You can see where each other are, kind of check each other are all right. I've synced up with my husband. I don't really think he uses it very much, though, because I said to him, have you noticed it wasn't really working? And now it's working. He said, what's that? I said, Find Friends. He said, I don't really know what that is. So I described it to him, just like I did to you guys. And he said, yeah, I don't really look at that. I said, do you never sometimes wonder if I'm all right? And he went, nope. And I thought, I wonder what it would take. I wonder if it'd be like a big pile of dishes. He'd be like, hold on, I had a wife. Or he'd ring the police and say, my sock drawer is empty. I think my wife is missing. And the police would say, can you give us a description? And he'd say, they're all black apart from one pair with Daleks on. Together a while, people start to give you suggestions on how to spice up your sex life, don't they? Different ways you can spice up your sex life. It always occurs to me that there's shopping involved. There's always shopping involved. Anything from an unmarked jiffy bag through your letterbox all the way to like a trolley around B&Q. And then you've got to get a handyman out who can fit the hooks to the ceiling. There's so much work involved. And I just can't be arsed. And that's another thing off the list as well. Well, good, about a third of you got that. For the rest of you, I don't take it up the shitter. To be honest, with my IBS, it's just too much traffic going in the other direction. I don't know if you've ever tried to pull out at a busy junction, but it's a bit like that. We did find a really easy way to spice up our sex life. If you're lazy like us, then this might appeal to you as well. What we do every now and again, we just swap sides in bed. That's all we do. We swap sides. The first time we did it, I was like, ooh, it's like we're on holidays. But I think I must have been been spanked a lot as a child because I can't make it sexy as an adult, no matter how much I try. I just keep saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Luckily, my husband finds apologies a massive turn on, and it just makes me go and sit on the naughty cock.